So I think we'll move now into our action planning. That was a real wealth of resources there, and I think the thing is always to match the problem and the resources, and I think you've already started to do that in some of your settings. Does everyone have these? Does everyone have one of the templates? Some received it by email, but I think we have the paper version. Basically, and then I'll weigh in if Grace or Lisa, Shireen, any other comments on filling this in. Basically, we wanted you to not leave the workshop and not have a next step. I know you've got a lot of next steps waiting on your desk at home when you get there. Well, probably both at home and in the office. But just because we do want to come back to you in January to check in, see how anything you've learned in these couple days, well, and building up to these couple days, has helped move along your responses or your resilience, depending on what your situation is. And these, we've created a template. It has two sides. Don't get stressed. You don't have to fill in all the boxes. This is just to kind of get your thinking going. The top line is to think, well, and this is for you to sit together with your colleague from your country and think about, okay, from the time we've had there and given our situation, what's the first thing we want to take home and do? What are the steps? Who else do we have to involve? It was just the two of us here at this workshop. Who else do we want to kind of talk to about, you know, what we learned and what we think we can do additionally to what we were already doing? Boy, we have a lot of good skills, but what other technical assistance might we need? Either in anything from, for instance, social media monitoring or doing planning a training or doing kind of the social mapping that, or whatever you've heard that you might want to add or need additional support for. And then, you know, then there are the questions of, is it going to need additional funding, or, and how am I going to monitor it to make sure it works? Again, if you only have the ideas for the first few, that's okay. It's just to get the thinking going. And we've put for three, but, you know, even if you do one or two, it's really to think about what would I like to get going. Lisa, do you want to weigh in with? So we'll have these short-term and then build into mid-term and longer-term ways we can support.
Thanks, Heidi. Even just taking inspiration from the presentations that we just heard, where Sergio outlined a few steps that can serve as a basis for a planning process. And one of the first steps that he described was about mapping entry points in thinking about existing plans and policies and program activities. So to help start thinking about this planning part of the discussion this afternoon, a place to start, just, you know, as an example, could be thinking about where you have these existing plans and how they could be refined and built on, and where they possibly create opportunities for thinking about some of the different dimensions of work that we've discussed, okay? And from there, to then go down to the next level, which is about, okay, what are certain types of activities that we're doing that could be refined, or where are there possibly any gaps, you know, that we need to think about? And lastly, I would also just mention thinking about the data that you already have. So do you have a complete understanding of the reasons for under-vaccination concerning the different population groups that you would prioritize? So when you also think about the different places in your country where you have the lowest rates of vaccination, do you have a complete diagnosis in those places for why you have those low rates? And if not, when you've thought about all the different types of determinants and drivers that we've covered here, using these frameworks like the caregiver journey or others, if you feel like there's not a complete understanding of the different drivers and barriers to vaccination concerning those populations or communities where you have the lowest rates of vaccination, you could start by prioritizing some of those places and thinking about where you could potentially gather a little more data to complete the picture to then also inform some planning. So think about what you're already doing and where things could be refined. Think about where there are possible gaps. And lastly, think about those populations where you have the lowest vaccination rates and what you need to do there to start moving the needle, okay? So just some added thoughts there in addition to what Heidi's outlined.
Yeah, and in addition to the lowest vaccination rate, are there areas that you've typically had good vaccination rates, but you're starting to see some change? So it's not all the way to the bottom yet, but understanding why there are change, because I think a few of us have said that this is not a stable state. I think Shireen used the word stable platform, and I used volatile, but you can use many.
Just to quickly, building on that, thinking about it from a risk management perspective, okay? And, you know, thinking about where your program may be susceptible to rumors, where there may be areas that are, you know, being threatened by funding cuts, or, you know, thinking about the fact that you are transitioning from Gavi support. What are the areas where you would potentially need to target to build that resiliency or sustainability for areas of intervention that will be more long-term and enduring as you go through this phase of shifting in relation to resourcing for the program? And that's potentially where thinking about policy changes and systems-related improvements could also be most effective at this point in time, okay? But thinking about it from a risk management and risk mitigation perspective will also enable you to think about where there are possible vulnerabilities in the program or in the policy or system environment structurally that could also warrant a closer look. Grace, over to you.
I was just going to suggest as a practical measure, one thing you might refer to is the agenda and all of the different topics that we've covered over the last 2 days, you know, looking at whether some of your priorities are around building, rebuilding and building confidence. You know, we talked about social media monitoring yesterday. If that's a real area of risk for your country, you know, is that something you want to choose as a priority? But, you know, this might just help remind you of all the different things we discussed.
So it's 2:30. We're running a bit over, but maybe if we take, I mean, I think if we even take, 20 minutes? Is that 30 minutes? 40? Okay, why don't we say 3 o'clock? That's a good 35, a little over, just to have a kind of easier than saying 3:05. Well, it's just 2 and 2 and 2. So, I mean, they're doing it for each in your country groups, which is mostly 2, in some cases 3. And we can go around and sit with you as you're doing it. Yeah, is that what you mean? Well, but it's for the individual countries, yeah? Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I was saying, to come back to forum at 3 and go around.
It might be helpful to have instructions of what they should present back to.
Well, isn't that... I'm sorry, I thought that's what I was... Is it... What? Sorry, if you want to...
Oh, I just said... Is it clear what we will come back and share with the group?
Okay. Right? And then they'll come back and give a 5-minute presentation per country describing the top line activities that they've identified. Yep. Yeah. Okay, so until 3 o'clock, everyone.
So, colleagues, let me introduce what we develop for Armenia. The priority action, we choose understanding hesitancy. So the first priority action for Armenia will be understanding hesitancy in the country. And further steps needed to achieve will be define stakeholders, meeting with stakeholders. Then how to involve stakeholders. We think who will be stakeholders to be involved. We think that medical experts, academicians, professional associations, then parents, journalists, international partners. We think international partners also will be our stakeholders, and administrative staff as well from Ministry of Health, from regional level. So further, in terms of technical assistance, we think that international partners working in Armenia, like WHO, UNICEF, FIDEC Armenia, this is Argentina-based organization, and they have a country office in Armenia, and World Vision. Actually, these partners, we are working with these partners very closely, and at this moment, even we have steering committee, all the partners are involved. For coordination, for ownership, NCDC is coordinating all activities, National Center for Disease Control. Okay, NCDC Armenia will be coordinating all activities. We have, as I said, we have already steering committee. We didn't aware that we will come here and discuss vaccine hesitancy before coming here. We already managed the establishment of steering committee. As I said, our partners, WHO, UNICEF, FIDEC Armenia, World Vision, also involved in the steering committee. So we will have regular meetings. We had regular meetings. We discussed what will be the next steps. We provide feedback. Our partners also participated at regular meetings and with, provide feedback to us. We think that the first action will be funded by NCDC. To ensure this, we have planned activity 1 year ago. We sent proposal to Ministry of Health and get an approval. Now we are implementing according to that proposal. For monitoring and evaluation, we'll use coverage data because it's traditionally very used, but not national coverage. We will use subnational coverage. We started collect also community-based coverage. And this actually helps us to find out which communities we have gaps and what are the reasons for refusals, for low coverage, and we are going towards this to find these challenges. But we have, as I said, we have social We have a procedure to find the social barriers. So we have a special form. We plan to continue this activity, to continue this monitoring. But what the new innovative approach we will use in our future plans, we will take from this workshop. We just discussed with colleagues, with our partners. Would be better not to lead paper-based work because it's you know, it's a huge work and will be overloading healthcare providers, the frontline healthcare providers. We will apply innovative way. We plan to discuss to add some information regarding refusals in electronic health database. So it will be helping us just sitting at the national level, as you said, and going deep to the country level and find out what are the reasons for refusals. And I have some questions. Barriers I pointed maybe in electronic health the database I would add this line in the electronic just ticks from healthcare providers and will help further analysis at the national level. So this is Armenian plains.
So I will present on behalf of my Georgian colleagues. We've identified three priority actions, and I will list all three of them, and they will go down. So first is to increase knowledge and awareness about vaccines among healthcare providers and in population in general. So it's quite a big umbrella. The second is establishment of the social media monitoring, which is now absent in our country. And the third is create a conducive working environment for health workers. For the first priority action, so we listed about four steps. The near-term step would be to update curriculum, actually institutionalize all the modern approaches in the continuous education for health workers, which is underway, mm-hmm. Right? It has started, but the process is just newly started process. For the long term, we identified that it's very important to modernize curricula for the undergraduate students and medical schools because it's kind of behind, quite behind. And introduce also some knowledge for their children, so kind of civil within the civil education sessions at the school level, which would be very. We think that it's a kind of force coming, but it's a kind of has a long term effect. Also, there would be important to introduce knowledge for the journalists at the also education level, so to prepare them how to publicize health issues in general, but immunization specifically. It could be part in their curricula. So for these steps, we would need stakeholders. So this is the Academy of Post-Diploma Education and Ministry of Education, who is in charge of the all postgraduate education curricula development. MOH technical assistance, in-house technical assistance will be used to update the curricula, as I understand, right? And MOH will have a leading role on this direction, and some working group meetings would be necessary to sensitize the partners, the Ministry of Education, and then it's all straightforward. So no extra resources at this stage. Yeah, maybe it's too. We need more thought on that. if it would require extra resources or not. So the second priority action on establishment of the social monitoring system. So first it needs to be identified what is the solution which would be used. So for that reason, MOH IT department could be involved and they would come up with the most suitable software which could be used for that purposes. But next step would be to actually justify this to those who should issue the, financing for that, because there should be a dedicated person identified who should be, then looking after that and screening what comes up, whether it requires action. And we think that it should be institutionalized at the National Center for Disease Control, the system. So some extra budget would be definitely required, and should be that included in the national immunization program budget. The third, which is create a conducive working environment. So this is quite broad and very much links to the reform of the primary health care, which is underway, but we are in a reform process for the last two decades in our country. So, and yeah, it's a new wave of reform. So one is introduction of the motivation mechanism for primary healthcare workers, positive or negative. So it's not still decided which way, how it will be designed, what indicators will be there. So it's still a kind of, not at the decision level. It's still on the, discussion level. Improvement of a working environment for that specifically relates to the village health workers, because so accessibility is there, the infrastructure is there, but it's not in a good shape. So some refurbishment is needed, and also there is problem with which relates to all primary healthcare providers. So this is insufficient time to dedicate. For their parents and children to explain all the needs of the immunization. So some technical assistance would be needed, or MOH will be leading on that. We have not come up with the monitoring and evaluation. All indicated. And budget resources would be needed, and so MNE part should be elaborated further.
Okay, so thank you very much. We discussed within the two-man group with support from facilitators. We came up with two block areas. The first one is on social data collection. We think that is an area that we have to look at. And the other one is we already have an existing media monitoring system. So we want to see how that could be improved, especially for decision making. But before then, we would have done a debriefing. We thought that was very important. We have to debrief the other stakeholders, especially the big decision makers. We need to get their buy-in first before we suggest what we think we need to them. And so under the plan for social data collection, our focus is on point of service surveys as well as community surveys. So in doing that, we would have to build the rationale, develop proposals and seek funding. Then once we are through, we execute the studies. The stakeholders would include our LNCT group, other group members, the EPI manager, and the entire EPI team at the national level, and representatives from the regions. We have a whole division in charge of communication at the Ghana Health Service. We call that Health Promotion Division. They will also be part of the stakeholders. In fact, they lead immunization and other related communications. We would also involve a communication group that is dedicated for immunization. Then our traditional and non-traditional partners in immunization, particularly UNICEF, which is the partner lead for immunization communication, WHO, PATH, CDC. We have many other partners. We involve them as stakeholders. For technical assistance, we think that will require in-house assistance in proposal development. We have a whole division called the Health Research Division, so they will be of use to us. Then would require technical assistance from the Ghana Statistical Service. They actually have a lot of experience in household surveys, and they've been supporting us in EPI coverage surveys and many other surveys, so we need technical assistance from them. Then for the coordination, we think that the Director of Health Promotion Division, the division that is in charge of communication, as I mentioned earlier, should be the key coordinator, supported by the API manager and the other communication members, members of the communication group. We'll do that through meetings and report sharing. Resource mobilization, we don't have any funding available yet, but there's the potential for Gavi TCA funding. Because in the 2020 Gavi TCA, UNICEF has made a case for supporting communication activities, and this actually falls in line, so there's that potential. And the monitoring and evaluation, we'll look at the survey reports. I think I'll end here for the next thing to do. Because we couldn't finish with the media monitoring.
Thanks so much. Laos, I'll bring you the microphone. I'm not sure who will. Oh, here's another one.
Thank you. For now, we select the priority action. The main priority we select the only the two priority. The first, we have to identify and the area, the mapping for the to identify the high-risk area, high-risk group and high-risk area first. And then we have to improve the for the IPC system, the interpersonal communication. What we want to do, the interpersonal communication, we have the quarterly meeting with the village leader in the community, with the health worker, and also the for the stakeholder to involve the for the local government and also the health worker. What the health worker do for example EPI manager in the district. And what they want to do in the health center, they have to develop the for the information to provide to the social media and clearly the language, and also in the community. What we want to do in the community participation, we have to conduct the group discussion where we know the high-risk area, what the community they need to support, and the health worker to need to support from the health worker. We have to discuss together with them the first we have to listen from them what they need to support from up the what they want to solve the solution from the community themselves. That's the one activity, and then we have to support the supervision and evaluation, and this activity we have also to identify the champion in the the community. If we know the person, good model, and they can involve to the family who's concerned about the vaccine, and they can involve, and also we can invite the champion to talk like a talk show in the television or in the some event activity in the village or in the some like New Year, for example, in Hmong New Year, we have to do the some activity. We have to invite the champion to talk in the festival or something. Maybe the you can add.
I think we had a really good discussion. I also think that a lot of the messages that were delivered earlier resonated a lot, especially the importance of using modalities that reinforce the trust and compassion and what was the third one that we talked about? The respectfulness. In Laos, I think there's maybe a couple of examples of approaches that have been used in the past that haven't been as effective. Like there's one particular province where there's some instability and resistance, and they've used kind of a more firm approach in terms of maybe even having like the military accompany vaccinators, which doesn't yield a lot of trust and compassion and respectfulness potentially. So anyway, so we're trying to come up with the best ways to go forward. Dr. Chansai mentioned a few of those. We had a nice little kind of role play. We've heard a lot of the issues from either healthcare workers or the village health volunteers and the kinds of arguments that they are faced with from parents and other decision makers in the household. So we just, I think, need to spend some more time tailoring what the messages should be that the healthcare workers are equipped with to try and engage with those counterparts.
Okay, so as I mentioned before, in general, vaccine hesitance is not that high in Uzbekistan, and we are already working on the hesitancy among healthcare workers that are not involved in the immunization process, such as GPs and pediatricians and neuropathologists, etc. So this area is kind of covered, but we will look more deeper into it upon our return, having learned whatever we learned here. So we thought that the priority area for Uzbekistan at the moment would be the second dose of HPV vaccine, which will be in April. So with the first dose, we have been successful. And to make sure that we don't lose the momentum and that we don't get too excited with our success, but actually dedicate ourselves to the, you know, to finalize the program, so the second dose of the HPV vaccine, we need to strengthen the current approaches that we have been taking, so such as social media monitoring. As I have mentioned previously, it has already been implemented. However, it needs to be more structured, you know, more formal. So we need to work on that area. Within that, we will use the stakeholders that are WHO, UNICEF, MOH, then all the partner special agencies under the Ministry of Health, and all our structures that I have mentioned before, Women's Committee, Family Center, Ministry of Public Education. etc. These are our partners that have been engaged in the HPV campaign, and we need to make sure we don't lose the partnerships in this process and actually develop them further. So for the technical assistance, I think social media monitoring tools and techniques that we have touched upon here and the guides that were mentioned in the previous presentation by UNICEF, these would be very helpful for us. Hopefully some of them will come soon because this is very important. And we will definitely involve all the partners as we have already. And in terms of resource mobilization, we will just use the existing funds as this is a part of the current existing program. And I guess our monitoring and evaluation will be the level of coverage of the second dose nationwide, but especially with the focus on the capital city, which was our major problem this time around. So we would like to use this basically, you know, as I mentioned, that overall hesitancy is not that high in Uzbekistan, but the HPV vaccine has revealed lots of issues. So we want to use this lessons learned from the HPV campaign and the hesitancy connected to it to inform the overall immunization program and our strengthen our communication strategy, which we have, but it has not been implemented as well as we would like to. So definitely the lessons learned will be incorporated into this communication strategy. And the second priority area, which was also revealed during the HPV introduction, is hesitancy among the specific group of healthcare professionals, which were gynecologists. This was our weakest point in the program. So definitely prior to the second dose, we would need to prepare, have more trainings, have more program and materials for this particular group. So we will work stronger with the agency, the National Gynecology Association, and the chief gynecologist of Uzbekistan, hopefully produce materials together with them and strengthen the approach here. As well as we need to work more on IPC, the interpersonal communication skills development by the healthcare professionals, again, mostly with gynecologists, because they have been influential but not targeted enough by us. That's the most of it, the gist of it.
On behalf of our group, we have to say thank you to facilitator, and we prepare our presentation now about the three prior action. First, we focus about healthcare worker. Presents now, we focus about the hesitancy on hepatitis B burst dosing and AFI, and we step need to achieve action. We will conduct some training for TOT and education in order to strengthen the more confidence of vaccine quality and efficacy and immunization safety among healthcare worker, and after that, they are key people to educate and communicate to the mother and grandparent and community in general. And also, we have to training for the hospital experts and prepare guidelines on vaccination in hospital for the children with the chronic disease, and training for the healthcare worker about quick response with the AEFI in order to prevent the bad result. We always concerned about the death case, so I think it's very important. And also for stakeholder, about the first priority, we think as the leader of the Department of Health and Ministry of Health, and have to quick respond with the serious AFI in order to prevent the rumor. And the second priority action is the focus the anti-vaccine group and anti-vaccine movement. We have to active conduct some activity for broadcast on social network and mass media about the important of vaccine and immunization, and also share the strategy of vaccine hesitancy and about the stakeholder involved. They have a strong involvement about the strategy to deal with the vaccine anti-vaccine movement, and assess the potential and input a trend and use the most accessed platform for the immunization and education. And the third, we focus about the risk communication and management. We have to improve the AFI system and training for health workers, and also focus on journalists and community and the mother on risk communication. I agree with my colleagues from other groups, the same ideal for us, and also we develop and broadcast the key messages on potential and adverse event and how to take care of the children after vaccination, and also educate and communicate for the mother to take the action if the any symptom, serious symptom occur after vaccination. In that case, we can prevent the serious case occur. And almost the children, if they get the serious symptom after vaccination, but they recover, I think it's help us so much for the vaccine hesitancy. Yeah, thank you very much for your attention.
Okay, thank you very much to all the countries for their really interesting report outs on their different plans and ideas going forward. So just as to pause here for a moment. So based on what was already described, did colleagues here have any questions or reactions to what they've heard so far, or any clarifications that they'd like to raise for some of their peers who are here? Did anyone have any comments? Responses? Yep, Joanna.
I actually have a comment to everyone regarding the activities that you're planning that relate to strengthening the research, looking into demand or problems with refusals, and planning ahead the communication activities or building the continuous education. Do you feel that you have budgets for this, or do you know the ways in which you're going to convince your decision makers that decide about the budgets? Because what we are seeing among the Gavi countries that transitioned already, this area, communication and what we're discussing today, is an area where they are not receiving enough funding from their ministries. So I was just listening to all these very interesting, you know, ideas, wondering if going ahead, once you transition from Gavi support, in some countries in 1 year, some already transitioned, like Georgia and Armenia, whether you plan sustainably for these activities to be built into the system and budgets.
Any comments or reactions to that? Any countries that feel they might struggle to create the space to adequately finance these activities? Okay, yeah, okay. So just to run through a few areas of best practices that, in a way, that we've covered here this week, yesterday and today. So firstly, just thinking about crisis communications. We know that an AEFI or rumours or misinformation that's circulating, we know that that's something that can risk destabilising confidence in a program. So just for all countries here, Could you please raise your hand if you do have a crisis communication or risk communication plan that exists already? Does every country here have a crisis or risk communications plan that enables you to be prepared in the case of any kind of severe AFI that might affect confidence? Yeah. So Vietnam, do you guys have a... But this is just something to take back and to think about, right? Because this is an essential plan to have in place to support your readiness. Do you want to comment on that? Yeah.
Because you know that rumor is often appear after the serious adverse event, and we have not timely response. We have a long time between the event and our response. So we have we let them to do rumor during that time. And if we have a timely response to adverse event, we can prevent the rumor. So we experience this from this. Last 10 years, last 5 years, we experience this from cluster adverse event. And we understand that if we let it come to the final conclusion on the adverse event, and it takes so long to come to the final classification, so it means that somebody need to get about the cause of death. They make the rumor on us. Yep. So right now, we try to do our best on the K investigation, causality assessment.
Yep. Yep.
And within the 1 day or 3 day, it's often we have a committee meeting of the provincial committee, scientific committee, on adverse event to investigate the case and give the causality assessment and come to final one and to share with the own mass media immediately. So don't feed them with the rumor. So yeah, so don't let them have a time to make the rumor. The second thing is that in the case, it's very complicated case. We often invite the high expert, senior expert, clinician expert from the central hospital. They are very experienced on the adverse event and the disease. So they come to the field to investigate, to take the sample, to give advice to the committee. So example, I share with you the last case Dr. Hong have come last month. Two neonate deaths right after the hepatitis B vaccination. That was a twin case. Was born in the same mother. One case death 1 day after vaccination. Another death 3 days after vaccination. That's very serious. And of course, other people need to think that is because of vaccine itself, because of twins K. And the symptom like a shock. So what we do by that time, they have the healthcare worker at the different level, they have already trained on us. They have a response very quickly. But anyway, we cannot manage the K. And we cannot, they don't recover. And they dab. So what we do by that time, we have no cause assessment. And the senior expert, neonatologist, they come and take the blood sample when the child have dab from the heart and take that blood to the central hospital to testing. And they found thus the K death by the metabolist. So how to say? It's difficult to to absorb the lipid or glucose metabolize. Yeah. So they can live because their underlying condition, the congenital health condition, and they cannot live even any region. That's not because of the vaccine itself. So I should say that she have said the EPI one time, because if without the final diagnosis, nobody knows what's to death. What is the cause of to death? And very take long time, a lot of room more EPI need to respond. So last said with you the loss of experience.
I have to explain more because it's a lesson learned from Vietnam. Right after the 2 decades soccer, I myself have to go to the field trip, go to the one province with the 2 doctors from the National Pediatric Hospital. And we have to conduct the causality assessment in the morning. And in the afternoon, we call about 40 journalists, representative of many journal and mass media and television and radio, Vietnamese radio, they available as this the province because the very hot news, I have to say hot news. So immediately we inform the result of causality assessment and only half day noisy and the second day no problem. And we confirm that, continue conducting hepatitis burst dosing in the hospital and other activity. Maintaining, no problem, and we can respond and deal with the rumor immediately. Yeah.
Thank you very, very much for sharing those experiences. I think that they illustrate the complexity of what we're dealing with when there is some of these kinds of adverse events, and it does require these causality assessments that often are very time-consuming. And then in the meantime, it's still important not to leave a gap in terms of information and communication that could allow time for rumors to spread and people to start to draw their own conclusions. So we know that in this case, it's very important to be prepared with some communications that even just describe the steps that are being taken to carry out the analysis in the meantime, so that people are informed on the steps that are being taken to explore the reason and to perhaps even understand what to do about it. Okay, we have our colleagues from London who are heading out the door, so we'll hand over to them.
Sorry, we both have other travel, but we just want to thank everybody so much. It was very dynamic and interactive, and we've taken as many notes as we possibly can, and we'll be coming back to you, checking back in January to give you time to digest it all and start at least with thinking about your couple few priorities there, and look forward to following up. And I think we'll send around our emails so you can reach out. And I'll hand back to Lisa and Grace. Kristen is also here a little bit longer. So just to say thank you all and look forward to staying in continual touch.
Okay. Thank you. Goodbye. Bon voyage. So, before I hand over to Grace, just to wrap up on a couple more of these best practices and things that you've already identified in your planning. So in addition to having these crisis communications plans in place, also thinking about the social data. So we heard a lot about the importance of really understanding the underlying reasons why people might not be vaccinated. And we saw these different models that Shireen showed us and that we also saw from Sergio that enable us to start segmenting and understanding the different core reasons, whether they're related to attitudes or access or some of the social factors that influence vaccination and so on. So the importance of social data. Many countries described media monitoring that they're carrying out and ways in which that can also be triangulated with the social data and also other data sources to form a complete understanding of the picture of contributing to the diagnosis of these different reasons for under-vaccination. And many countries also highlighted the importance of their health worker training, and they're looking into further directions to refine the skills and competencies of health workers in different settings, particularly where they have low levels of coverage in specific target populations. So we saw those different areas of activity that were highlighted in your work. So are there any other, before we start to wrap up, any other questions or comments based on the content that we covered yesterday and today? Any final reflections based on the plans that were described? It sounds like you all digested it into some nice takeaways to go back to your countries with. Yes. Actually, so I can tell you a little bit about that. So WHO headquarters with a group of experts from around the world. So we're working with experts from Australia and Asia, Africa, Europe, the US and Canada to help us to draw on social and behavioural sciences and implementation research and anthropology to develop some tools that will be globally standardised and based on the evidence to help programs to better diagnose the full reasons for under-vaccination, okay, in a comprehensive manner. So we will have a globally standardised quantitative tool, for like a survey, that explores about 15 to 20 different questions related to different reasons for under-vaccination. And we'll also have a related qualitative tool for conversations with parents and health workers and others, other stakeholders, community leaders, religious leaders, district or provincial level managers, and so on, so that we're covering the full range of influences to vaccination. So we're in the process now of actually doing some initial testing of these tools in different settings to look at the comparability on the findings, because we want countries to be able to use these tools not only to generate data to inform their planning locally and the tailoring and targeting of different interventions, and after that, the evaluation of those interventions, right, to see what's working, even just on an ongoing basis to inform different iterations of what they're doing or different adjustments, but also it will enable us to start track trends over time in different areas related to these drivers of uptake that are more social and behavioural. So when we're talking about how we measure the work that we're doing in this space, we will be able to go beyond just measuring coverage or even measuring process indicators that we've traditionally relied on, like, you know, number of communities engaged or number of countries with types of communications plans. We'll be able to have a little better granularity on the different types of indicators and measures that we can use to track trends in some of these social and behavioural drivers of uptake, okay? So that's in progress right now. We're doing some testing this quarter and in the first half of next year. So before the end of next year, we will be able to launch these qualitative and quantitative tools, but we'll also have some corresponding practical user-friendly guidance that goes with it, so countries are able to tailor and test these tools in their own local setting, okay? So we hope this will be helpful and we'll keep you posted and informed as these start to become available, okay? So we know that doing some work in this space does start with data and having this comprehensive understanding of what's going on, but we need to use this data for action and planning and evaluation, so that when we're looking at program management, we're thinking about coverage data, surveillance data, we're looking at program data like wastage and supply and stock, and we're able to combine that with the social and behavioural data to give us a full picture of understanding where and how to target these different priority activities and make the best use of the budgets that we have available as well. Okay, so that's coming soon, so stay tuned. On that note, I just want to thank you all for your engagement and contributions during this meeting. It's been really a pleasure to be able to work with you yesterday and today. If you have any questions or need to seek further support or guidance, please don't hesitate to reach out to us, and we'll be in touch for further follow-up next year, okay? And on that note, I'll hand over to Grace to say a few final words as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So I have 5 minutes. I'll try and limit it to two or three because I'm sure everyone's happy to get an early start. So thank you all for coming. It's been, very helpful for all of the facilitators here, and I know for all of the other countries to have learned from everything that's happening in each of your countries. You know, there's a lot of commonality. There are also some differences. I think particularly within Armenia, Uzbekistan, Georgia, there's a lot to be learned because of very similar situations around similar vaccines, but also for Laos, Vietnam, and Ghana. What really struck me was, some of the similarities in terms of priorities around health workers, health worker hesitancy, their own confidence, people's trust in health workers, and how much that's a theme in all of the countries that are here today. And then the second thing I also hear among everyone is around social media and how much that can be such a disruption. We think everything is well planned around the malaria vaccine. We've learned our lessons around other introductions. And yet, one or two people can really disrupt that process. And how can we put in place good plans to intervene in that situation? So I just want to thank all of you for taking time out from your busy schedules to join us. I hope you've gotten something out of this workshop that you can move forward when you get home. I also want to note that, this is the first time that Linked has sort of tried to tackle this topic. So it really was helpful for the network coordinators to try to understand what's of highest priority in each of your countries. So we can think about how can we provide more depth in some of these subcomponents around hesitancy. So just to thank all of the partners that have been, some of us, some of them throughout the whole 2 days, some who joined us just for small segments from WHO, from UNICEF, from Gavi, Common Thread, Coratio, and of course the London School, who helped organize this whole event. And then my last comment, two reminders. One, everyone was sent the action plan electronically, and I think most people worked on it electronically. Can you please send it back to Kristen and to Leah? You can send it to everyone if you'd like on the email where you got the template, but please return it to us. It would be very helpful for us to, have all the details around what you just reported out. And then secondly, there is an evaluation form. And this time it's 2 pages, so it might take maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, but we really, really appreciate your comments, both on the specific sessions today as well as the overall event and how you will use it and how we can improve future engagements. So please take 3 or 5 minutes, however long it takes, to fill that out. And please remember to send your action plans back to Leah and Kristen. So I think with that, thank you very much. You can hand the evaluation forms to Leah on your way out. I wish you all safe travels and a good evening. Thank you.
I will just perhaps say one word, adding to what Grace has said, thanking all partners, Lisa and Curacio, we have here FDT, London School, colleagues that joined, and Catherine and Sergio from WHO. So they are all available. You will have their contacts. There is the Linked platform on which you have a discussion on specifically vaccine hesitancy. Don't hesitate to share the resources or questions you have via the forum. And finally, as Grace said, this is just the beginning of the work that Linked is going to continue next year. So please go back home, consult with your colleagues and partners regarding the actions plans that you put. Perhaps you have some other idea, so you could change your priorities and complement it. And we're going in 2020 to follow up on this work. So it's just the beginning, and Grace and Leah and the team from Linked is here to help you and to take this work forward. So thank you to Grace and Leah and the team in Washington as well, who prepared the meeting. And we really are grateful for your support to Gavi countries. And safe travels back home. Thank you.